Well, like the last couple of months, speaking about the gospel from Romans, which I've definitely done. The milk of the gospel being when you believe Christ died for your sins, get baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. God sets up a spiritual union between your spirit and Christ. Christ gets your sin, you get Christ's righteousness, and you die and get raised with Christ. When you die with Christ, God judges you, declares you righteous because of Christ's account on your account. Then you get raised from the dead, born again, sanctified, made holy inside, and you have the righteousness of Christ. And in that process, there's something that Paul calls circumcision of Christ, which you get spiritually circumcised because your spirit dies with Christ, but your flesh doesn't. That means your spirit dies to your flesh, but effectively your flesh dies to your spirit, which means that effectively your body of sin dies to your spirit. And that's the way God sees it, that you've put off your body, the sin of the flesh you've put off. Your body of sin has been destroyed, Paul says in Romans 6. Paul says in Romans 7, he's been rescued from his body of death. And Paul says to the Colossians that he's put off the body of the sins of the flesh, which means that any sin done in your sinful flesh, it's not a credit to your account by God. Therefore, you don't sin before God. Therefore, your righteousness is sealed. You get the righteousness of Christ and your righteousness is sealed. That's the meat of the gospel. Okay, that's what I spent my time talking about. Before that, about 3 months ago, I talked about God, that when you were born again, when you believe Christ died for your sins, you got born again on the inside. A union got set up between your spirit and Christ. But the thing that happened was your spirit, your inside part of you, was joined to Christ. So your spirit was made to submit to Christ, because the union in which that a death and resurrection of Christ happened was a marriage union. So Christ is the head part. You were made to be in subjection to the head, according to what Paul said to the Ephesians. That means your spirit submits to Christ. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Christ submits to God. You submit to Christ. Christ submits to God. Therefore, God made your spirit submit to him. Therefore, effectively, he made your spirit surrender to him. So God has made your spirit submit to him, and your spirit submits to him in a spiritual union which was set up between your spirit and Christ. Your Christ is God. Spiritual union was set up between your spirit and Christ. Paul said to the Colossians, your life is hid with Christ in God. So your life is hid with Christ in God. So your life is in God. A relationship in that spiritual union set up between you, spirit, and Christ. A relationship was set up between your spirit and God. So your spirit was made to submit to God, and your spirit wants to relate to God. And that's what I talked about a while ago, that your spirit wants to relate to God. It does submit to God. It wants to relate to God. And I said about ways that you could relate to God. You could speak to God. You could worship God. And I also talked in that relating, God, when you stand upon your righteousness given to you by God, Paul says in Romans 5 that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in your heart the love of God. And I said the love of God is a tangible thing that you can feel. It's also called the presence of God. It's also called the life of Christ. You can know and feel that love of God. And so I said that because it was the primary thing that happened when you became a Christian, is that you were baptized into Christ and a relationship was set up between you and God. That's the primary thing that happened. Your sins got forgiven. The primary thing happened is a relationship got set up between you and God. Your spirit, your inside bit, submits to God and wants to relate to God. So inside of you submits to God and wants to relate to God. So I talked to you about how you could relate to God, and primary way you can relate to God is stand upon the righteousness of God, glorify God. God sheds his love abroad in your heart. You can feel that. That gets amplified in worship. You stand upon the righteousness of God. God gives you the faith. You stand upon the righteousness of God. You relate to God in that way. Then God relates to you in that he sheds abroad his love in your heart. Then you can praise God after that. Then you relate back to God. So God relates to you and giving you the faith. You have the faith in standing on the righteousness of God. You relate back to God. That God sheds love abroad in your hearts. He relates back to you. You praise God for that. You relate back to him. That amplifies the love of God that you feel. He relates back to you. So all that stuff was to do with you relating to God. Okay, so those two things have been separate in the stuff that I've been saying. But apparently they're going to, you know, come together in the thing that I'm saying today. So Paul says in Romans 5, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love towards us, and that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Paul says you're justified by faith, therefore you have peace with God, and you also have access into the grace which you stand, you also have access into the gift of righteousness which you stand in, which you can as you walk around you can have faith in that gift of righteousness, that you are actually righteous before God. Paul says that glorifies God. But when that happens, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. And then Paul explains the love of God that he's talking about. Okay, and in explaining it, he said, when you were a sinner, the love of God came in your direction. When you were a sinner. So when you were standing there, sinner, separated from God, the love of God came in your direction. Paul says, how much more is the love of God going to come to your direction? And now you're reconciled to God. So the love of God, he sent his only son to die for you. That was like maximum expression of love. That was when you were a sinner. Paul says, how much more will the love of God be poured out to you now you're not a sinner, now you're reconciled to God. And then Paul sums it up at the end, for he says, if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Now that's the thing I want to talk about. He said, when we were enemies, you were reconciled to God, which means you were made at peace with God because you had your sins forgiven. You were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now he's saying you were reconciled to God by the death of his son, being reconciled to God, you should be saved by his life. His life is, in contrast to what he's just said, the death of his son. The life is the life of his son. So it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by the life of his son. Okay. Now, usually when the word saved used, it means salvation for your soul. It always means salvation for your soul, except in this case, in which it can't mean salvation. Saved can't mean salvation for your soul, because Paul says, for those that are reconciled to God, we shall be saved by his life. Reconciled is you have been saved. So Paul says, to those people who have been saved, we shall be saved by the life of his son. So that second saved can't mean soul saved. So it means something else. And something else that it means is what Paul talks about in Romans 8. Paul says, there's a law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made set him free from the law of sin and death. So Paul said, Paul said in Romans 8, if the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So he was saved from the law of sin and death operating in his members. He was saved from that by the Holy Spirit. The saved in here is saved from something else apart from like your sin. It's to be saved from, you know, the law of sin and death in your flesh. But the whole thing's different here. Paul's talking about the whole thing's, it's the same thing of what I just said, but Paul's point slightly different. He says, Paul says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So Paul says, having had your sins forgiven, you should be saved in a certain way by the life of his son, which is the life of Christ. And the reason Paul says that is because he's explaining the love of God that he originally mentioned. And the love of God that he originally mentioned is the love of God shed abroad in your heart. So, the thing I want to say is that love of God shed abroad in your heart by God is, Paul said, when you stand upon the righteousness of God, the Holy Spirit testifies that you are righteous by shedding abroad the love of God in your heart. And Paul said, that love of God is the life of Christ. All right? So, the thing I'm saying today is different than about being saved, different than meet the gospel, you stay righteous. This is like a spin-off from what Paul said. Paul says, when you stand upon the righteousness of God, God sheds the love of God in your heart, and that love of God, by the way, is the life of his son. Paul said to the Colossians, like, your life is hid with Christ in God. The main thing that happens to you when you have had your sin forgiven is the relationship. Is a relationship got set up between you and God. So I've been telling you about how you stay righteous before God, which is extremely important. It's the main doctrine for the church. But you stay righteous before God in the context of you have a relationship with God, which I have not. You know, due to the false teaching established church to try to say you have to keep the law in a relationship with God. Every time they use the word relationship with God in my direction, it's to say you meant to keep the law. But I'm told to start using that word because it means something. You have God set up a relationship between you and him. The stuff that I've said about the meat of the gospel is how that relationship's safe, in that you don't lose your righteousness, you stay at peace with God, you stay reconciled with God, you stay straight with God, for the purpose of being able to relate to him. So it's not a means in the end. That's all. You're a Christian, you've got your sins forgiven, and that's it. When you believe Christ died for your sins, you became a son of God. The primary thing that defines that is that you have a relationship with God. God sorted it out so that you are a son of God. You stay a son of God. You stay righteous and accepted by him. But the primary thing that you are is a son of God. You have a relationship with God. That's the thing that you have. I've told you how, but that's protected. But what's protected is your relationship with God. That's what's protected. So I meant to give you teaching about you relating to God, which I did a while ago, but it's come back to it today. And your spirit wants to relate to God, and you can relate to God by speaking to him. You can relate to God by praising him for what he's done. But I want to tell you about something to do with relating to God. And because I've told you the doctrine about God, about the gospel, about God, that God is love, God is holy. But there's teaching that I'm meant to give, which is to do with relating to God. And there's less in the Word of God about relating to God than there is about how your relationship is protected. And so I'll give you the teaching about relating to God that's in the Word of God. But I'm meant to tell you some other things about relating to God that is in accord with the Word of God, but I'm meant to tell you more. And so it's not more than the Word of God. I'm just meant to say what the word of God that I have said means. Okay, and the way that I'm told to do this is that I heard a song the other day, and then a chain of things sort of happened. I ended up relating to God. With that song as a sort of a template about how I could relate to God. But I'm told to tell you to walk, to tell you step by step what happened to me in order to tell you how this relating can happen. Because, like, you know, you just say go up to God and say hi, but I can say more than that. And so I'm told to tell you what happened when I heard this song, the way I related to God. I was told to analyze it and break it down and say it to you, and then I'm going to go back to doctrine afterwards, all right? So, yeah, I'm not allowed to plan this thing today, just like I wasn't allowed to plan the thing that I wrote down yesterday, but I'm told it would go okay, so... I'm just going to read out. The thing that I'm told to read out. Okay, so I'm going to say out some lyrics that were in this song. Okay, right. So here's some of the lyrics that were in the song. Now, this is what some Christian wrote a song about. Okay, so the lyrics were: there must be more beyond familiar shores into waters unexplored. Take me from where I've been into something new. Okay, that's the main lines. Take me from where I've been into something new. All right. So I want to tell you. I want to tell you about me relating to God after hearing that song. But first, I want to say, identify there's something Holy Spirit in the song, because there was something like an electric type thing in the song. I know that electric thing to be like the life of Christ, sort of. Like, or the love of God. I've identified it as something to do with that. So I know that the Holy Spirit's testifying. I knew when I heard that song, the Holy Spirit's testifying something to me through that song. I've known for a while, the Holy Spirit's been testifying to me different times, different places, that this meeting is going to go to Liverpool at some point. These meetings are going to carry on in here, in Crewe. But the meeting's going to go to Liverpool at some point. So I've been told that. The Holy Spirit keeps testifying that to me. Okay. I believe that God's already moving regarding the Liverpool thing. It's already decided by God. It's already spoken forth by Him. He's already moving things regarding it. And just after the movement of it has come over the brow of the hill regarding His sovereign will being made manifest, He started to speak about it more directly to me. Via general greater love of God made manifest, testifying to my heart of the love of God made manifest that will come, including speaking through this song regarding making His love made manifest to my heart when I heard the song. So God's been telling me more and more, testifying to me more and more that He's moving regarding the Liverpool thing. He's already said that He's going to go there. But as it's like something's started to act, as things are starting, as like the movement of the word that He spoke to me about Liverpool is starting to be made manifest in different things. Like, I met a man in Chester from Liverpool who became a Christian. Adrian's looking for a new building for his work in Liverpool, which will be able to be used for a meeting. As the manifestation of things according to that word are like, suddenly it pops up over the brow of the hill and seeing God is testifying like at a more quick pace to me about stuff. He's just like, He keeps testifying in a more direct way. One direct way was in this song, because when I walked past this song, It was like there was something electric about it, but it wasn't the bloke that wrote it. It was God's something electric to do with the song, and I had to respond to the thing that was going on. I wasn't responding to the song, but God was speaking through that song. I identified electricity to do with the Holy Spirit made manifest that's been testifying to me about the Liverpool thing. I noticed it in the song. Right. So if I go along with the lyrics in some way, I take me from where I've been into something new. I'm actually asking for the thing that I know is on the way. So I'm not asking for an undefined thing. I'm saying I agree and I want what he's doing. And it's a certain opportunity to relate to God in a way in which he provides me with a template of how I can relate to him. And it's brilliant rather than a chore, because my heart really wants to respond to what he's doing. And I get told how to, and it's better than trying to work out what to say. I know it's God because the song feels electric in a Holy Spirit way. So what I'm saying is when God's popped up and says he's going to do this thing, it's like, I just go, that sounds nice. But like, and I want to relate to God more, because every time I relate to God, it's because he's first made a move and something's like electric-y, and then I respond back to that electric-y thing, and I witness the love of God in a more strong way. I'm relating to God like that, and I want to relate to him, but it's like in this, him speaking through the song, he gives me a template. He provides me a template of how to relate to him, because somebody's already come with a whole load of words. They haven't written it for me. Mm-hmm. Well, they haven't written it. They didn't intend to write it for me, but a lot of the stuff in the song, I'm told, do I agree or not with the thing? And so if I go, yeah, I agree with that bit, I'm actually being told how to relate to God. He leads me down a path of how to relate to him. I don't have to work out how to relate to him, what to say. He just goes, do you agree or not? Do you agree or not? Do you agree or not? So, right. So I'm saying I really agree with what he's doing, and I get to say I want it, and I hear that I want it, which helps me see his work in me to want it, which testifies extra that he's moving in the way he's already told me in a more gentle voice. So God's told me stuff in more gently, and then I see how I react to that song. And it's like, why am I reacting like this? And it's like, I see God's work in me. God set me up to agree to something. Okay, this is the main analogy, right? It's like a child walks into a room. It's like a child walks into a room where his father's sitting. His father smiles at the boy, and the boy knows his dad's got something for him. So the boy puts his hand out to receive the gift, and his father gives it to him. Like, no words are said, but they know each other, and there isn't any need for any words. They know each other well. So I walk past this song, and it's like God's in that, and he's smiling at me because he's saying to me in that song something he's already told me. So he smiles in my direction, and I can go, I agree with that line, and I'm not asking him for anything. The words in the song say, take me from where I've been into somewhere new. I'm not asking him to take me into somewhere new that's undefined. I'm saying I acknowledge he's already doing something, and I've got an opportunity to tell him that I agree with what he's doing. So he smiles at me, and I go like that. I'm not putting my hand out saying, can I have this new undefined thing? I'm saying, like, I agree with the thing that you're already doing, but I get the opportunity to relate to him in that way. And every time I relate to him, I get that electric-y love of God thing, which I end up satisfying my desire to relate to God. So this song provides a template in which I didn't know how to relate to God in that way, but suddenly I find myself, God set up this path where I can walk along, I can relate to God in a way that it's not words, it's that he makes a move, I make a move, he makes a move, I make a move, but I'm actually relating to my father, and they don't need to say stuff because we both know what's going on. But I get to relate to my father, God, in a particular way. And every time he makes a move, it's like his present manifest, which is the love of God, and I get hit by the love of God in some way. If at minimum it feels nice, I respond back, which feels nice. He responds, which feels nice. Like, I end up sat, the whole thing sat, it feels nice because God set up a relationship between me and him. So I am actually relating to him, and the language in that relationship is the love of God. That's the primary language. That's the thing. It's not love. I have to say to God that I love him, and he says it's not that thing. It's his, the love of God is a tangible thing, which
it's can,
which, what was that, mate?
It's
unspoken. Hey, the love of God's a tangible thing. It's like, but I'm not just talking about, I see him and he doesn't have to tell me he loves me, but I know. I'm saying that the love of God, when made manifest, it actually, like, is a tangible thing. So it can, I said about the love of God came upon me when I spoke, preached in the street. It made me cry in the street. It's an actual thing that affects your emotions. If you walk into it, it affects your emotions. It just makes your emotions bow down. It makes your emotions bow down. So, so God set up this thing. I didn't know he was going to turn up in the house. Like, played this song and he's like, he's in it and he's smiling. And it's like, I'll say something back. And then when he smiled, the love of God like hit. And then when I said, I agree, like the love of, like the love of God amplified the thing that I felt. And then he says something in the next line of the song. And then I respond to that. And then the love of God that is the currency of the relationship, the tangible thing, just gets amplified. And that is, and so what's the actual thing is a conversation, a relating that's based upon the love of God. And at the minimum, it just feels extremely nice because my spirit is doing the thing that it's set up for, to relate to God. So I meant to tell you, rather than just teaching doctrine, I meant to tell you the in this instance, because a whole load of doctrine should be contained in me describing this thing that I'm saying. So right, so I know God's doing something. I hear the song and I know that God's in it. I've seen my father smile. I join in with the song by saying I agree with him, taking me into something new, which I know is not asking for something new, undefined, but is instead saying that I agree and I like the thing that he's already made. I put my hand out to receive the thing, not ask for it. So to agree to this song and to speak to God in this way, using a template which you think God's made up, is not asking God for something extra in your life, but responding to what the Holy Spirit has already testified to you that God's doing regarding you. So you can't just ask God for something new, like new job, new relating to him. You can't just come out with this something new. But like, you can also think, if you acknowledge God to be completely sovereign, you're going to get anyway what he's got planned for you. Then there's the question, well, why do you need to say anything and ask him? And like, you are going to get what God's already got down for you this year. You will relate as closely to him as he's got down for you. You will your minister and your evangelist teaching part as much as he's got down for you. But this speaking to him and even saying when you know he's doing something, take me into that thing new. It's just all you're doing is acknowledging what he's doing and you're talking to him about, you're relating to the thing that he's doing. And like, and the currency of that relating is the love of God made manifest, shed abroad in your heart and amplified every time you move in it. And that's it.